Hey everyone, Wade McElwain here with another great episode of Scrotus POTUS coming up. We've got two great guests from Canada, Sean Collins, comedian, and Ryan Call, comedian. We're going to talk about a lot of exciting and topical issues this episode. Racism USA. What's going on with racism in America? Can it be changed? Is it going to stop? What can we do to fix it? We're also going to talk about anonymity online, the power of Facebook, Google, and all these guys. Do you have any rights? And marijuana. Hey, if you don't have any rights, get stoned. We're going to talk about global pot policies. We're also going to talk about North Korea, Generation Netflix, so much more. Subscribe, like, listen, share it to your friends. It's Scrotus POTUS. Yeah, right, everyone, it is time for another stellar podcast, vodcast, because you actually see video on this. I'm Wade McElwain. This is Scrotus POTUS, where we scrutinize everything about politics, particularly the politics of the United States, but we've got a couple of Canadians on today, so we can talk Canada, UK, US, let's talk the world. Joining me, two comics we've got on my left, Sean Collins, all the way from Ottawa, Canada.
Hello.
And Ryan Call from Brantford, Ontario, Canada. The whitest of white Canada. Here we are.
Yeah.
Talking about white stuff going on, man. Charlottesville, Virginia. It's racism USA all over again. What the hell is going on? Is America always going to be racist? You were talking about Trump not denouncing it. He didn't really say it. He's just like, everyone's bad on all sides. And everyone's like, well, he should have said this side. You know, obviously racist. Racism is, he's not going to say racists are bad because they are bad.
But how can you not say racists are bad? It seems like he got given like the ultimate, as we were talking about, softball throw-in, and he just whiffed it. Like, it just seemed like they said, all right, listen, you've been messing up for 6 months. We'll give you an easy one. All you got to do is get up there and denounce racism. And he fucked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, yeah. He just didn't take any sides. And, you know, obviously he's very busy playing golf, Ryan.
How are you going to denounce the people that voted you in?
Well, that's the
white
thing.
White supremacists were...
Like, if he's not planning on winning again, who cares, right? You've already won.
It's these people that suddenly it's like, yeah, well, Donald... It's almost like they think by invoking Donald, they can invoke racism, which, you know, there was never anything in that. And he's obviously a New Yorker. I don't think he's a racist at all.
Well, do you think when people stay in his guest house and there's eye holes in the pillowcases, they wonder what they're there for?
They're to peek through all the Democratic sex parties. That's what they're to watch. So you can don't have to put the mask on.
But I think it's just something, even with the internet and everything, it's just now for easier for racists to get together. You know what I mean? Like, they can go on, you know, alt-right websites and white nationalist websites, where before they had to go, like, meet in the woods at a certain time, right? They had to all, I don't know how they organized it back in the day, but,
phone
but
books.
Now all they got to do is literally just say, tweet, hey, we're going here to this march. But I got one question about the march. Like, this was to remove the, like, protesters, to remove
that. So what they're trying to do is
the protesters. Statue, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's sort of, I think that's sort of, to me, that sort of becomes the bugbear of a lot of people. Robert E. Lee, who was a Confederate general. He was a horrible general, by the way. I don't know if you've read any of his military strategy.
Trump loves his generals.
Well, this guy, he wasn't a good general. He was the kind of guy that would do open field, and he only won a couple key battles because he was lucky, but then he lost.
No.
But the whole thing was they were putting statues of Robert E. Lee, and, you know, Robert E. Lee is the name for a lot of, you know, Confederate schools. And so the whole thing is they want to start taking it down because he stands for racism or the same as the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
Isn't it to do with slavery, though? Wasn't Confederate?
Well, it does have to do with, Confederate did have to do with slavery because the Confederate government did, you know, did condone it and did work. You know, you've got the political manifestations working in it. When government and the law are all working on this practice, it's going to be very hard to debunk, as opposed to you have other countries that have had sort of, you know, racial issues but never had a core where the political system and the economic system was ingrained into the policy.
Well, you can argue the fact that they're saying, I know what they're saying is part of our history, and that's why they don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's certain parts of history I'm sure Germany wants to forget as well.
Well, Germany, Germany banned Nazi memorabilia.
Exactly, and that's...
But that's the unfortunate thing, is a lot of these alt-right people are taking Nazism as this sort of sign of success.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, well, the Germans are embarrassed to shit. And in fact, there was a guy, an American guy, who did the Nazi salute apparently in Germany the other day and got punched in the face by a bunch of locals.
Yeah, but that's good. The thing, like, with even with this this statue, they announced when they were gonna remove it, right? Which is something you should never do, right? They should have just removed it in the middle of the night when no one was looking. Like, I don't see why you have to announce you're removing it, because what did you think was going to happen? They seemed almost like unprepared for. It's like they set it up on purpose, right? Like, you know, it just seemed ridiculous that you would say, like, we're going to remove it at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday. It's just like, oh, well, then let's do our march then. You know, if there's, like, graffiti, they just remove it at night.
I agree with you on that one, because in 1986, me and my friends stole the Ronald McDonald statue in front of the McDonald's in Kingston, and we did it at night and got away with it.
Of course.
But I'm sure he was happier.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that you're right about it. The problem that you have is you have all these sort of, it's akin to sort of taking the toys away from toddlers. When they have this thing, the Confederate flag and the Robert E. Lee, you know, to some people it stands for racism. To other people it stands for, I think, a lot of pride in the South, that they're Southerners, they're proud that they fought ideological war, maybe not always based on slavery. And there's a lot of people that are not slave kin, but are still proud Southerners. But you start taking away their shit, eventually they're going to go, stop it, and they're going to act out. You know, is there a way to dress things down slowly? Is there a way to maybe change the statue a bit?
They just pulled the Saddam statue down, so this seemed like it was the nicer way to do it. They could have made a big spectacle where they blow it up or anything, but they were just like, you know what, we'll just get rid of it, and then it just turned into a spectacle
itself. How much of you do you think the anger is the fact that it was on the Dukes of Hazzard's car? So if you
yeah,
that's an important part.
Well, there have been people that have been asking and pulling for Dukes of Hazzard to be pulled off the air because of that. I mean, you saw the newer incarnations didn't have that.
I feel like you can just edit that out in post. You know, yeah. Like it just shouldn't blur be. I'm it. Sure it wasn't a huge part of the storylines every week.
Yeah, most of us are looking at her shorts anyway.
So. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Or the incest, but I mean. All of them cousins, you know. I just think it's when you have those kind of things where, you know, how this racism, because you look at a country like Singapore, which is considered one of the most racially divided places in the world, and it's quite harmonious. You go to America and go to the South, and I was in Augusta. I went to the Augusta National Golf Course, and I went to a bar that night. And we went to the bar, and there was a white's entrance and a black's entrance. And this is like 2005. And I thought it was a fucking joke. Oh, and I was like, and there was a cop.
That's a terrible joke, even if it was.
There was a cop, like there, a white cop. And I was like, are you? And I immediately walked to the black side and they look at me. And I was like, hey, what's going on here? And they're like, where are you from? Like, Canada. They're like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we're divided. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? And I asked the cop and he's like, man, I don't know. He's like, it makes things easier this way.
Augusta's its own world. They don't got women on the cars. They just live in this weird.
Well, I think women are allowed to come on the course when it's time for be clean.
Yeah, probably. That's the only way they work.
I mean, there's sort of that ingrained sexism and racism that are they hiding behind it sort of furled in their flag that's, hey, we're Confederates, this is what we do. I mean, I've been to the South, it's some of the friendliest people I've ever met in my life. Yeah. And you just wonder how long this racism sort of stays in there.
Well, the thing is, you have to just, like, even with that sort of the people who are complaining they didn't brandish them anything. Like, he's got to call them like a terrorist group. Like, eventually you're just going to have to start calling all these groups that do hate and do something like that, because that accident was the same thing that happened in London, and it's a terrorist attack. Yeah. Like, you have to just stay consistent. Like, if it's, you run your car into people, it's a terrorist attack, regardless of when and where you do it.
Well, because, I mean, that's running a car is how we used to end field parties in Canada. You drive the car at people and they get off your fucking land. You know, and that's that terrorist attack? I don't know.
Don't you think stoking the fire is a fact that so many black individuals are being killed by cops?
Well, there is a higher rate, yes. And I think it's also when you have, I think with social media, is illustrating a lot more of that and showing that, you know, now it's like, hey. But
it's been going on for years. It's social media. That's why... nothing's changed. We just talk about it. Social media is bringing it to the forefront because everyone's seeing it. Whereas before, we were living in a world where, as white people in America, they don't see the fact that blacks are being killed unlawfully by police that are shooting them and they're unarmed. And it just, one of the greatest lines ever was reading the feeds in Facebook, and actually a black individual saying, you have no idea what it's like. White people have no idea what it's like to kiss your black child goodbye in the morning, not knowing if he's going to come back doing nothing wrong and being killed by a cop. You know, by a cop who are supposed to be protecting you, and they protect everyone else. But you know, and it's true. I mean, it must be a fear that your teenage son is going to go out and be shot for no reason.
And I mean, it's also not to slate the cops, because there are some amazing cops. Absolutely. They're just like anything. There's just a few bad assholes who either through improper training, coming back from the military, not being trained, or just that they're just the local small town bully who never left and uses that power. It's like, oh, all the smarter people left. Well, I'm going to get them.
Steroids plays a role that nobody talks about. There's been huge busts, or they've uncovered the fact that a lot of cops run steroids, which makes them
road rage.
Well, trigger happy freaks.
Have you been pulled over? Are you guys ever pulled over by the cops in the States?
As opposed to Canada, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's what the thing for me, what I was always surprised by, was when I got pulled over, hands up, hands out, reach over, open the door, and I'm like, I was just doing like 20 over, you know. And I'm worried, and I've got to get out and get down on my hands and knees and lock my fingers for just going 18 miles an hour over, you know? And you're just, the guy's got a gun trained on you. It's like, well, I've already speeding. What the fuck are you going to do, you know?
Well, here's the argument, too. Everyone has a gun, though.
Yeah.
And that's the other, in Canada, you're not, I mean, there are states where you can have sidearm on you, and you can go into a restaurant and
well, that even the place so that just happened was open, like, conceal, like you could bring. Yeah. There's a guy with like a AR-15 just on the street while the riots are going on, and it's just like he's just holding.
But
it.
He's no match for a Chevy.
Yeah, you know, it's just unbelievable that's just normal. It's like that's just Tom with his going on his morning stroll with his assault rifle.
Well, it's that nonchalance when you see people walking around with guns like that, and it's sort of, for me, you like being in Florida, you're like, whoa, what the hell, man?
Do you think they just like freak out if they don't bring their gun? They're just like, this is gonna be the day shit goes down. I know it, and then they're just paranoid. I can't even enjoy
it's
themselves.
It's like when you forget your iPhone charger, you're like, I'm fucked for the day. My phone's dead. Yeah. I'm not gonna get anything. It's like then suddenly it's like, oh, I forgot my gun. Oh, Jimmy, asshole.
Just go buy a new one. At the store.
Well, that's it. I mean, there was I've seen some sketches like that, but it's like how easy it just is to buy those guns.
Yeah, there was like a great picture, and it was back to school sale that was going on in this store, and one of the parts was a big gun rack that was like after school, part of the back to school sale.
Well, I'm a comedian that hopes to get booked in America soon, so I'm going to say guns are good.
That's the camera over there. But
guns are good.
Yeah, one of the things that was sort of surprising that I saw that they're selling in kids back to school, as you're saying, bulletproof backpacks for kids. Would you ever consider buying a bulletproof backpack? I mean, for your kid, just to be, well, you know, just hold this, just behind it.
They got to be like 10 times the price, you know.
It's, well, Kevlar, also you got like this cheap Kevlar, your kid, obviously it's going to build their strength up, which is good. But the fact that you have to worry that your kid, you know, just in case, he's got a bulletproof backpack on.
That's crazy. No, you don't do that. You don't.
But there are parents who
I love the fact that the mindset that somebody jumped on that and is making money off it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you got to go on every angle. Kids are getting shot in school.
Just in case. Only your back is covered. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the other, one parent I saw had it as a justification is, well, if I put a gun, if I send a gun with them and it accidentally goes off, I know they're safe. Wrap your head around that logic for a second. I'm going to buy my kid a bulletproof backpack in case they need to put their gun in it and the gun goes off.
Well,
how are you teaching kids?
Do you know what? You cannot debate this. Like, we can debate it, but you cannot debate it and argue it with Americans that are pro. It's impossible.
Well, that's their right to bear arms.
And eventually they come back. It's because they go back to fucking Canada and have some maple syrup. And I'm like, I will.
Well, that's
got
also
a bulletproof actually maple syrup.
Yeah, exactly. Bulletproof glass.
They were saying one of the biggest charges that they're starting to do in Canada and the Canadian border, particularly in the East Coast, is arresting Americans who are coming to Canada not realizing they can't bring their gun. And so in Canada, I think it's a $2,500 fine, and we keep your gun until you go back. But Americans and are getting upset. They're like, well, I didn't know that. It's like, our laws are different. You can't just bring a gun.
The same thing happens to British people when they come to Canada and they drink outside. And like, what do you mean I can't drink outside?
Who do I find about
open,
this?
Open concealed. It's concealed. It's in a bag.
Getting back to also these guys, this rally and the people that are there, and there's Twitter feed that's starting to identify them, but the fact is that some of these people have now been identified and like work in restaurants and work in banks and, you know, holding these shields and these, you know, championing this white supremacy.
Yeah.
I mean, how fucking dumb are you? How do you, and then surprised that they're not getting
fired,
caught.
They're like, what?
Why are they fired? It's like proudly chanting and singing bullshit.
The Monday work meeting, it's on the agenda. Tom's racism. It's just like,
it
what's
depend on where you work? I'm sure some of them would be applauded in that.
I can't imagine any employer, unless it's a prison, is happy that you're part of white supremacy. I mean, I can't.
Can't imagine he walks in and everyone starts applauding.
Yeah, way to go, man.
like the cop just took down the big
you were there
killer.
Too? Yeah, Me too, man.
And if you look at them, they're all dressed like Best Buy employees. They're all like khakis and polo shirts, you know. This is the uniform of the... I got to be careful that I'm ever caught in khakis and like a polo shirt. I'll be like saddled in with the white supremacists. So, I mean, it's also the reasonable amount of acts of privacy that we have. What kind of reasonable amount of privacy can you expect? Because a lot of people now, we're going to have this sort of, this UK, the right to be forgotten. So this new law is coming that basically says, you know, I want to be forgotten. I don't want you to put shit up of me, and I don't want you all those pictures of me as a kid, take them down. And I've had to deal with Facebook recently because I just got banned again for a week over a picture that was a week old that someone reported, and I went on the dark web and I took care of you. You'll find out here. I messed up your life. But what is the sort of right to be forgotten? Do people, and you know, because essentially when you sign up to Facebook, you're basically saying, take all my privacy, take all my photos, do what you want with it.
I think you have a right to be forgotten if it's like anything that you didn't, that wasn't like from you. So if it's like revenge porn or something like that, that people are trying to ruin you. The problem with right to be forgotten is where do the barriers fall? Because if it's just like you did something wrong and you don't want someone to find out about it, you shouldn't be able to get that forgotten. You know, if you robbed a bank, you're like, hey, Google, there's this negative story about me robbing a bank.
Can you? But that's why people want to use
so
that.
So that's what I mean. So there has to be rules, whether it has to be like falling under revenge porn or falling under, because I don't think it's like, well, we got a bad Yelp review. I want that to be forgotten, because nothing will get done. You'll just be inundated with stupid requests from idiots all the time, being like, I don't want this.
Because there'll be someone on Facebook going, hey, Facebook, this picture makes me look fat. Take it down.
Yeah, exactly.
So there has point, to be. But at a certain point also, it's like, hey, you got pictures of me when I was 10, and pedophiles are buying them. Please take them down.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Where do these pictures come from? Are they your own photos?
So they could be your own, but it can be that you have a right to be forgotten. You could say, actually, I want to get a job, or this pictures of that someone posted and tagged me in something puts me in a not very good light.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is get this taken down.
Yeah. But again, I think it should fall. There should be rules that has to fall within this, because otherwise, it's just nothing's going to get. This is going to be a billion requests on the first day. Because there's so many shitty videos out there of people.
Aren't you opening the government and these companies up to scrutinizing everything about you?
Yeah.
Well, that's also part of it. You know,
I always look at it the other way. Why is the government doing this? Because they don't really like us. Well, you can pretend they're trying to help you out, but there's always an angle that they. So by doing this, by you saying I want this picture down because it doesn't shed me in a light, aren't you inviting them to go in and look at everything about you?
Well, they already can. Yeah. I mean, they use
bots.
They
already do it anyway, yeah.
But the problem is, like, even when I complain to Facebook, and I've complained because I spend money on Facebook ads as well, so when they take my profile down, you have no point of contesting it. You can't talk to a human ever in Facebook. And that's the problem. You can't ever talk to a human. And even, I only talk to them if I'm spending money on ads. Then they will personally contact me. Hey, how you doing? And then I can be like, oh, yeah, you fucking took my profile down for a week. Oh, yeah, you should have contacted, but I can't contact them. So there comes to a point. And you've got Amazon, Google, and Facebook are now, a lot of people are saying, they're just too big to even stop because they have so much data. And with the new EU laws, they're looking at fining them. The fines are going to be something like $17 million fine for each time that they mess around with someone, or 4% of their global turnover. So at some point, Google could mess around.
Where does
around.
That fine money go?
Wait a minute, that's EU, right?
Which we're not going to be in. Well, technically,
we don't even get a piece of that pie.
We don't have part of that anymore.
No. Well, the data protection bill will cover us, and apparently we will be, whenever Brexit happens or whatever the hell happens with it, those things will be migrated over. But the fine technically goes to the government coffers.
Okay.
So it all depends.
So we don't get the money.
No, we don't.
But then if you look at something like, so Google owns Alphabet Incorporated, which basically is their parent, the parent company that takes all their money. So it's the one that basically processes all the cash for them. It does 77% of the search ad revenue in the world. So you look and go, and then Facebook and Google have 56% of all the mobile ads are all Facebook and Google. So when you have this sort of conglomeration of people, and it's one thing to have this right that we give them all our data, but then also what it does is it stops small startups, because there's no money for innovation. There's no money being spent in research and development. They just basically buy up. You got a good new idea, it will take you, and they absorb you into the fold. And at one point does the government go, well,
like,
hey, you know,
black
what?
Hole.
Facebook, Google, and Amazon are buying up everything. I mean, I'm quite confident that Amazon's gonna buy Netflix in the next year. I could say maybe 18 months, maybe, but Netflix can't last. Amazon will buy them up. So what point do we go, you know what? There's too much collusion going on. There's too much of these companies buying up because there's no competition. There's no nothing. And we're basically, the Google and all those guys are hiding all their funds away on all these little offshore, moving things to Ireland, moving different places, trying to get their lawyers to get them the best deals.
Well, because they have all the leverage if they're that big. Because they'll we'll just move. And they're like, no, well, don't do that. You employ 80% of the people in this country.
But when you have all the data and all the leverage, you know, you can put yourself up as like, oh, this great, you know, social networking site. But then at some point, you just own everyone. So what point did the government step in and go, actually, fuck you. No, we're going to break you up. Because, you know, a lot of economists have said and called for the breakup of these companies into smaller, more manageable portions, particularly regional ones, So they're not big global maniacal things can just move and shift like the sands. I mean, what point does a government, and would anyone have the balls to do it?
Well, would you win? it's a tough battle you're fighting. Because I think you have to eventually, because eventually it's going to get too big.
Well, eventually they just take over, and they'll have so much undue influence.
Yeah, well, it's the same problem we have in Canada with our telecommunications. It's owned by two major corporations who basically make little other telephone companies that pretend they're not part of the big boys. And it's like you think you're like, I'm out of Rogers and Bell, and then you're like, no, you're not. You just bought a smaller version of them.
Yeah. And then what they do is they grind all the smaller businesses into it. So what happens is, a small startup company will start up in Canada for, say, a telecom. And then these guys will then just cry to the government, the CRTC, and go, no, they're not fair, and they can't use our airlines, and they can't do this. You don't let them do that. And then when that government finally does something, they just torch them. And they say spread false media about the people, like, oh, if you put this in, there's dog shit on the receiver, so you're just going to get dog shit every call.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of these sort of things that you get down to is, with the privacy that you get online, but as well, should we then demand more transparency from these companies? If Facebook, for example, is going to ban me and take all my data, shouldn't I have a right to be able to call them on it, or else less
like
be able
look
to see
up where what your data is being
see,
used for?
See what's
like,
happened. See where all my data's gone. See what they've done with all my stuff. Where my pictures have gone. No one's demanded this kind of thing, and it's only happened because they've been fined recently. They got fined. Actually, it was a. I think it was Google. It was in Canada. There was a fine against them for these it was Facebook sponsored stories. It was Durez versus Facebook. And what happened was people were starting to see in British Columbia their pictures appearing in like all these like sponsored stories. Like you should come here. It's like that's my picture. And so Facebook argued that they had the right to be able to use your pictures in ads.
No, that's not.
And so it was only a few dissenting judges that actually agreed with Facebook, but they won it on appeal. But then they're just like, how are you going to enforce Facebook? Because it's like, we beat you, but Facebook would go, fuck you. So what are you going to do?
It's probably cheaper for them to pay the fine than deal with having to buy headshots for
just being able
people to,
contest something like that, It just becomes that sort of point there. How are you going to stand up these big companies? At least, we've got like Ofgem and Ofcom and things in the UK that you can at least have a government body. And for the first time, people have actually then gone after these big companies.
What a great way to get information on where you are all the time.
To get people to voluntarily
Facebook
give it.
By voluntarily giving it. That's what I'm saying. Is that you post where you are online all the time. You post where you live. You post everything is online. And what a great... Hey, how can we get this all? Do we do it individually? No, let's get them to do it for us.
Yeah,
and that's
the only way
done to
really do it. To be honest
for sure. And that has been that people are complicit in it because people by nature are selfish dicks. People are. We just want. Oh, look at me.
No,
look
we're
at
lazy
me.
Too. We'll just
selfish
be like,
and lazy.
Well, wait a minute. No, I live in the UK. It's the easiest way to get pictures to all my friends.
It totally is. The speed of the technology and the way that it worked. I mean, I joined Facebook when it was only available to people in university. So when I joined back in, 2006, I guess when it first started, it was only, I had to get someone in university to recommend me to get it. And I got on, I was like, wow, and this is early Facebook. When you look
so
back, it looks 8-bit.
Compare two teachers to pick the hottest one that early.
Yeah. Hot or not.
Yeah.
But I remember joining it and I thought how great it was because, and then it's gotten better and the company's invested and they've been very smart in investing, but they still own our data. And the bigger they get, the harder they are to reach. But they still position themselves as this, hey, we're Facebook, tell us. And I get in the morning, it's like, hey, we'd remind you of something from 7 years ago. Fuck you. I don't want to be reminded of that. That's a horrible memory. Hey, we put together a little slideshow from your weekend. Oh, shit. I don't remember taking those pictures. You're an asshole. You just made a slideshow of like my drunken worst weekend. Dick, Facebook.
Yeah, but I think it's also because we're older too, so we're very much more cynical when you see stuff like that. Like probably younger people when they get their weekend recap in a slideshow, they fucking love it.
Oh yeah, look how much ketamine was on my nose.
Just
like, crazy.
I'm still standing.
Yeah,
how great I am. Like that's a different. I think it's because we're still older. We're still that generation that had nothing and now experiences everything. That it's just, we could just be very dismissive of it because with the younger people, that's their life. Their life is more online than offline, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, and we're getting to an age where the memories we go, oh yeah. I did that.
You sort of care about the memories because I know if I were to have some of the stuff that I did in my 20s, on social media, I would probably be arrested. I would something would
probably
be, yeah.
The amount of people that got like died before social media was able to take them down must be thanking like they must have died and been like, oh thank God, and then just passed out.
I went to a show in Mexico that in my 20s that nobody needs to know about.
It involved donkeys, Sean.
Yeah, it involved
donkeys. Did it rhyme with Tijuana? Yeah.
Donkeys in a cockfight.
Yeah.
All right. That was your opener?
For that was their opener, yeah.
You headlined?
Yeah.
So just kicking it.
Well, the thing, it's also, it's sort of scary when you actually look at it. So Zuckerberg and Musk, Elon Musk, have been having also a debate.
Yeah,
too,
they're
about
having an AI off.
So, yeah, AI off. Yeah. Musk has basically said that AI poses a greater threat than North Korea does. And Zuckerberg's like, oh, no, you're just being, like, so negative about AI. Even though Facebook had these two bots, I think you saw...
They learned their own language.
They learned their own language, and then they had to shut them down because they created a more efficient version
of
English.
That is the ultimate definition of human paranoia, too. It's just like, they start changing, wait, are they talking about me? Right? Just like, shut them down.
Yeah, they're talking, but they're talking smarter than we are.
Every Elon Musk, horror film from the 80s is coming.
Yeah,
do we not watch the Terminator?
Yeah, but
does realize?
That's what I was gonna say. Does Elon Musk think of it's the biggest threat, like in the Skynet version of it, or
I think so.
In the fact that it's gonna take over, all jobs are gonna be automated, which then means the whole economy
goes into the
dump.
Of course,
it's the automation is a part of it, but I think what he's really scared about is as you're saying, it's that Skynet thing. But what it is, it's someone. Rogue creating, AI. It's when you
sentient.
Get to a point where AI is sort of, as you say, base sentient, where anyone can sort of code it and copy it, and like, I'm gonna make my fridge.
Like what? Like,
and then suddenly
like
it's like something like that, where suddenly it becomes aware, and it becomes, it gains this sort of cognizance that it becomes self-aware enough to go, hey, let's get rid of these flesh monkeys. They're really ruining the planet.
To be honest with you, I think a war against the robots is what this whole world needs right now to come together as one. Because otherwise, it's just never going to happen.
Well, considering all the stats I just reeled off about Facebook, I don't think we're going to... It doesn't look good for us.
Yeah.
Because Facebook will just come back on and go, are you sure you want to sign out right now? Maybe we've got a few more bikini pictures you want to put up.
But I don't, the whole, I think it's,
you have
I don't think
pictures?
The Skynet thing would happen. I think that's ridiculous. But I think there's a danger, because I think they're doing problems with automation that's taken so many jobs that's why countries are now looking into that, like, universal income thing. Because they're like, if everyone's just going to lose their jobs, then there should be, like,
a
massive tax on companies that go, like, 80% automation.
Sure.
So then everyone could just get a universal income and just basically
just
sit at the Weatherspoons,
just do nothing
all day. It would just be people bored out of their minds, getting wasted.
Just designing a robot that rolls joints for you.
Well, I guess it'll be depressing worlds, but like that's kind of one
thing.
Have
you heard some of the conversations at Weatherspoons in this country are groundbreaking.
They need some more new blood come in and help those conversations, but. I think that's an interesting thing is if it becomes, everything becomes too automated, no one can work, then what is,
well,
what
the,
are people going
to
do?
The idea is that people would then become services to the
fish.
Robots.
Yeah.
That basically
will
we're
be
just
other
robot
jobs.
Mechanics.
They'll just take like, hey, you don't have to do this crappy job.
Yeah.
We'll get a robot to do it. We'll teach you how to do something better, which is like the problem that they have with like people who work in like coal, right?
Yeah.
They're like, listen, you don't have to work in a shitty mine anymore. We'll pay you to go work in solar, right? And they're like, no, fuck that, I'm not working in solar. Because I think some people might think, like, if I work for green, it's going to make me gay. It's just like, I ain't working for solar, what's next? I'm sucking dick.
Yeah,
I just think this ridiculous mind. And it's just like, no, you'll get a better job, safer, more money,
exactly.
And we'll pay you to do
get
it.
Get out of coal and get into nuclear. Much safer.
And how many dicks do I have to suck to do this?
But that's what I'm saying. Just like, that's the thing. Get out of automation where you're in this crap. We'll teach you how to do something different that can help. Let the robots kill each other.
Quite happy to golf and fish.
Hey, I wouldn't mind being part of the universal income. They're trying it in Finland.
Yeah, they try,
like,
a lot of progressive things,
giving people whatever and just seeing how it affects
but
them.
You're watching the sort of emergence now, especially of like the AI that we already have, Alexa that people have. I don't have one of those Google Alexas, but a lot of people do.
Yeah,
people having problems with it. You've got like Snapchat having these sort of own filters now that are coming with its own augmented reality, and then you've got these things as well that people are designing because of pornography, obviously with robots. So these. I don't know if you read that. There's some guys that are designing robots that are for sex, just for robot sex. But they are designing one for features for people that are more sort of rape, like they're rape bots, that you can, like, do what you want, and they sort of fight back. And you sort of go, what?
I'm starting to figure out why you got banned from Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Rape robots. Let's just find out. But, I mean, you get to, because it becomes that robots, like the Westworld sort of analogy, that they will be ones that'll be good because we've got an aging population. We need to take care of them somehow. You know, and robots will
help. Robots for what they can do medical has been incredible.
But then you also have them that there becomes back to that whole notion of slavery again, that we will at some point, I think, encounter this leveling where, as humans, we're like, fuck you, you're robots. And then we'll be at this point in history where we're like, oh, we were so wrong. The robots were our equals.
Do you think we'll have, like, robot helpers? Like,
God, I hope so.
It's just going to be so weird. If I had, like, a robot just come bring me a beer, it just feels so weird all the time. Even if it was a robot, then it's just sitting in the corner staring at me the whole time.
Well, especially when you go to bed at night and you wake up. Yeah, at the foot of your bed.
Just staring at me.
Would you like a beer, Ryan? No. Yes, actually, I wouldn't. That's
every time I go, I have to go shut him down. He's like, no, don't shut me down.
But I mean, there was that. So they also had that Elon Musk.
Why would you shut him down if he's bringing you beer?
No, at night, you know, I don't want to mess. I'm trying to think
a point, Ryan, because I've known you a little while. Yeah. When you would need to shut him down, I've never seen you.
Only when I'm sleeping. Yeah.
To carry you to the beer robot.
Even then, if he tapped you on the shoulder and said, "Do you want one?" He'd probably go, "Yeah, all right."
Why not?
I would have liked to have a robot carry me to bed.
Would you have a joint robot as well?
Just roll spliffs all the time.
Yeah. One alcohol, one joint. Yeah.
Not even that. It just blows pot smoke into your face. Open your mouth.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's like its own vape. He just sucks on his finger.
Yeah. Or even worse.
Just pull my finger.
You've already advanced the AI. Yeah. No, that's not good enough. I don't want one that rolls me a joint. Yeah. I want
bong fingers.
Different flavors.
My robot, you know.
Well, because pot, let's talk about pot then, because pot is... legalized in a lot of states. They have a lot of problems with it because it's legalized in certain states, but it's not legalized federally, which means a lot of the grow-ups and people that are cannabis places are collecting everything in tax.
And they can't get bank accounts,
and they can't get reductions in labor laws for employing people. They don't get benefits in terms of, you know, giving people health benefits and things like that. But also, what they're also having, too, is a lot of times of smuggling, where it's legal to grow in, say, Colorado. It's not legal in other places, so people are getting charged with smuggling pot in different areas.
Oh, right.
Vegas running out of weed. Canada legalizing it next year in 2018 for July 1st, which a lot of Canadians are excited about. But it's being run differently in each province. So in the province of Ontario, where we're from, being run by monopolies. It's being run by the liquor store monopoly.
The LCBO.
And a Shoppers Drug Mart, which is the equivalent of, like, Boots, but with less competition. Yeah.
It's so going to be so weird. It's like they're going to have, like in the old days of those video stores, where the porn was in the back behind the sheet. That's where the weed's going to be. You can't have it just, like, sitting out. You're going to have it just sitting out.
With the condoms?
In aisle one. Yeah, you'll get the condom... The condom kush combo.
I tell you, I'm going to visit family more in Canada more now.
It's going to be, because it's already, I was in Toronto, and they already got this, like, thing called Weed Maps up in Toronto, which is, like, it'll tell you all the dispensaries that you can go to in Toronto, and they're all...
Is that just for the police officers?
Yeah, they're already up there. There's a big billboard advertising Weed Maps.
They're still arresting people in Toronto.
No, it's not legal, but there's tons of dispensaries. Like, there's places... Well, you can just go back to Toronto, you can just go in, just like, yeah, can I get some weed? And they'll give it to you.
Well, that's all to you.
But if police are there, do you get busted?
Well, like, there's a chance that it'll get busted while you're in there, sure. But even if it does, you're not going to get in trouble.
But that's like every dealer I've ever had. Yeah, if I go back to Toronto, I can just go to my dealer. And there's a chance I'll get busted on that day. I would assume
from a store you're getting more for your money. I doubt there's many dealers.
My dealer's pretty good.
Yeah, but if you've known
him... Why don't you put his name up on the screen for everyone if they want John?
No, this is back in the day. I'm not saying I still have a dealer because, you know, I've changed.
I make it grow it myself.
I think when you were saying, because there have been people who have been in dispensaries when they've been raided, and basically the cops come in and go, you guys go, they take your information, just go.
And they just go after the
dispensary. But, you know, I think a lot of people have also said...
wasn't there a big bust of these Canadian dispensary people that there's a big hoopla in Canada about this?
They've busted quite a few of them.
But they were in Toronto.
I think a lot of people, because they said, well, it's going to be legal, we want to get a head start, and the cops are like, it's not code yet,
which,
man,
is a dick move in itself. So you're like, yeah, well, I'm just going to open now.
We're going to open. And then, so, you know, even Trudeau, just said, you know, you have to wait till it's finally done. But there's a lot of provinces, I think, you know, some of them are like Nova Scotia's like, or other ones going through elections are sort of like, hey, we're not sure what we're going to do yet.
But is it going to be like...
It's going to be legal one day.
Is it going to be...
Let's begin.
Is it going to be like Amsterdam? Is it going to be like, there's going to be... Because that's a cool thing.
No,
about the one thing you do when you go about, when you go to Amsterdam, where your mind before you go there, and you think like, oh, it's just going to be a cloud of haze and shit when you go there. But you don't actually smell weed anywhere unless you're walking right by one of those shops. Right. Like, no one's out there smoking on the streets. Because, and it's actually quite beautiful. And it's police fire. You never see any real problems with it. So is it going to be like
the idea
in
is in Canada, in most of the part, that you're not allowed to smoke it in public. You have to do it in your own home.
Are they going to have shops like coffee shops where you can actually smoke
in
the shops?
I don't know. I think that will possibly be an eventuality. But for now, it's just about selling it. And for now, from what I understand, is it's just government operated in the shops. You buy it, but you can't go into Shoppers Drug Mart and just like,
no, of course,
fire
like,
one up.
And
in
you
the
can't, as you wouldn't like. I smoke weed, but I wouldn't want all my streets smelling of weed all the time. That would just be depressing.
No, it's going to be in your own home, so the cops can then caution you, and they can potentially arrest you as well if you're
like in a Lush soap shop. It just stinks all the time to burn your nostrils.
I think they would like.
See,
I've been in the streets
totally in
Toronto, and I've seen people smoking. I've seen people smoking, and the cops are just like, don't do it in front of everyone. You know, they're like, I think Canada, you know, we're sort of at that sort of point where it's like, if a cop sees you smoking weed, they're not arresting you. They're just going to tell you to move away from where people are.
And which is good. Well, it's also good, like, legalize it, so now they don't waste so much time and money going after stupid pot possessions. Let's go after real crime.
Well, there's a staggering number of people that smoke weed in Canada around the world.
Yeah.
And that's
and it's just like the approval, like even if it's something in the States, like it's like something like 60% of people don't care anymore. Like, it's just not that big a deal anymore.
Well, especially when you see the tax profits, but then when you look at it now, I think it was only the Liberal Democrats in the UK that said that they would be up to decriminalizing it. But everyone else is like, no, no, no. Then you have countries like Portugal that have decriminalized it and decriminalized a lot of drugs because they had a really bad heroin problem.
Yeah, and it's all everything's gone down.
And now and all the things are dropping. And you've got Uruguay, which apparently is selling it, and I think apparently it's selling like $2 a gram or something in Uruguay because they just grow it so much. So it comes to a point then, Britain is obviously, from my experience living here, it's one of the druggiest countries I've ever been in.
And it's still considered, like, the problem with cannabis over here, it's, like, considered, like, in the class A's. It's like, come on, get it out of the, it's in there with heroin, and, like, dangerous. It's like, come on, move it, downgrade it a bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's stupid.
When I was out the other night, and it was a couple of weeks ago, but it was, like, out, and you go into this club, and it's, like, a no-drug policy. I go in, and there's like 20 people at the urinals are all empty, and there's maybe 15 people lined up at the toilet, like guys lined up for the stalls. And you sort of get to a point, it's like,
it's great shitters in this club.
And you're like, come on, man, Saturday night, and they're not doing anything. The far more, I think, in Canada where weed is more prevalent, here you just find it's pills and like the really, I don't even know what the names are of it. Hey, do this K with the dink and the do and the do. And it's, I don't know, I sound like Bill Cosby, but I don't know what the hell. You know, because it's a really sort of, I find a more druggy culture over here. But these sort of go...
Well, it's one of those things. It's all going to come down to money talking, like, really. Like, all those states that are now legalizing it have seen Colorado, like, building schools and, you know, sending people money back to them for, like, rebates.
Driving
they're making
right-wing Christians.
So much, yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. They're like, hey, how'd you get that new, you know, snow plow? It's like, oh, weed bought that. And then they're like, all right, we'll do it. And then it's just a snowball effect. And I think once Canada does it and they see that it's not going to cause a problem, I think Britain will, but Britain will be one of the last because they're
they're so far behind, it's ridiculous.
They're still very,
but I also think that the pub culture and the liquor control, we underestimate how much power they have in trying to stop it because they must be really pressuring the governments not to allow marijuana to be legal. You hear these MPs coming out with going, oh God, it'll lead to crime. And you're
did a thing, I think it was in Colorado, even when they did stats and stuff, and it was like domestic violence has gone down massively, like drinking and driving down massively.
Of course.
Like,
because you're on the sofa.
You're not going to get...
Watching Breakfast Club
you're not
Ally Sheedy was hot.
But the apparently the reports of people asking for special messages on their pizza boxes was up really high.
Did
you put a smiley face in pepperoni, man?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be a while before they try to legalize it here. The difference is, and when you look at it, in certain states that I've seen, at least Colorado, and the difference that Canada is going to face, is that when they make it, when they sort of legalize it, they made sure that it was small businesses had the opportunity to sell it.
Yeah.
In Canada, what they're doing is running it through monopoly. And the greatest effect of the economic turn for Colorado and states like that was the mom and pop businesses, the small businesses that were able to serve edibles, the people that were doing bong tours, the people that were doing things. It was small businesses, you know, and that's where Ontario, and I think a lot of Canada is going to have a problem is when you socialize it and you nationalize it all, what you're doing is stopping those small businesses from making money, and you're just creating a stronger, bigger monopoly.
It
can
never be government run. It should never be on a federal level. It should have been... It should be run so that we've legalized it. Now go do what you want with it. In other words, that people, that the mom and pop should open a head shop, and you should be able to go sit and smoke.
But wouldn't it be a great move, like, for, because of Brexit and everything that happened, like if Scotland or Wales or Ireland or Republic, they're like, you know, we're going to legalize weed. And then they'll be the ones that did it. They'll get all this money, and then England will be like, oh, shit, man, we should do this. Because I think that's the only way England's going to do it. Scotland kind of has to be first.
I think Scotland would be great.
Scotland should definitely.
You know, I think Scotland would be smart to do it, and especially if you do it in a deprived area and go, hey, guess what? Aberdeen, going to be the pot capital of Scotland. You know, everyone's going to go, oh, Aberdeen, let's go.
The Edinburgh Festival would be a completely different experience.
The Edinburgh Festival already is like that.
Yeah, I know, but it's a, you'd actually have people, they'd be too drunk, they'd be too stoned to heckle. You'd actually be able to get through your show.
Well, I mean, we know from back in Canada that they used to run stone shows.
Yeah, they still do in Toronto.
Where everybody, the audience members all smoke dope and you do comedy, yeah.
I did one of those, in Denmark like that, and was in Christiania. I don't know if you've been in Copenhagen, they got that area called Christiania.
No.
And it's like this sort of, it started as this hippie enclave in the middle, the north part of Copenhagen. And started from the 60s that they had agreed, this sort of hippie movement and the government, that they could do drugs and sort of free movement and everything there, and the government would tolerate it. And so when you get into this area of Christiania, it's like, I asked the locals, I'm like, I'd heard about it. And they're like, oh, it's cooler than Amsterdam. And you go in, it's like, there's no cameras allowed. And it's like this sort of village, but it's like forested. And there's an amusement park in there. That's where I did the show. And everyone is just like stoned off their heads. And there's little rides and boats. And it's just a really fun atmosphere. And it was just sort of one of those where you're just like, yeah, it was a really good experience. And then I did the show. And there was a Japanese couple that was there, and they were like probably in their mid 70s, and they had never smoked pot, and they smoked pot together for the first time during my show, and they were laughing so much. But it was a point, you know, when you ever had someone who's having the laughing fits, and you're like, okay, you're ruining the show.
They must have been like, so many wasted years. I could have been smoking weed, or you doing it 70. There's no point in doing it 70.
Hornby Island off Vancouver. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah,
no.
I did a show in Hornby. There's two ferry rides to get there, and when you get there, it's called Pot Island. It's all these wealthy bankers and stuff that have given up on life and just want to smoke dope. So when I showed up there and I started the show, it was quite bizarre, because when you're in that atmosphere, again, I've been to Amsterdam now and blah, 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 but this was back in early 2000, and I started the show and I smelled pot, and I thought, oh my God, somebody's smoking pot, and I looked out and it was everybody, right? And I went, holy shit, because I didn't realize it was that open, right? And I said,
do you guys have, Island,
and I jokingly went, you have no cops here? And the guy in the front went, that's me. I stepped the joint to me on the... It was amazing. And I said, well, how do you get away with it? And they said they had sort of a deal where they don't bring it off the island.
Is it international waters
on the island? Because I said, can I bring some of this off? And they went, no, we have a deal that it stays here. And so there's something going on that island that they're allowed to keep it. And
sounds like
knows.
A good TV show, The Island.
Yeah. It's international waters, basically, is what you're saying. Russian roulette after the game.
My only regret is it wasn't a monthly gig. Yeah. it was a one-off.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Once you go to Pot Island, you never come back.
Exactly. There's about seven comics that you hadn't seen in years that you thought quick in the audience going.
I thought you died. Yeah. Right now.
Yeah. I did.
My career did, but I'm still here.
Well, I mean, speaking of things that make you want to smoke pot, North Korea. I mean, the saber rattling is out. Does anyone really scared about this? Does anyone really think?
Why I'm not scared about it is because I honestly believe that... he's a Hong Kong dude. It's just whatever the new name is.
Yeah.
It's just attention seeking. Yeah, he's like a child.
He's got to
like
know.
He's a fucking child.
He's going down if like.
Of course.
You know, like, I wouldn't just go up and punch him. Like, he's going to kick the shit out of me, obviously. He must know. It's like, yeah, I think if I bomb America, I don't think it's going to be good for my country.
I think the thing he's holding on to, though, unlike Saddam Hussein or Gaddafi, if he has nukes and he can do it, he won't go down like they did. He won't go down.
Regime change him. Yeah.
And if that sort of, that's why he's accelerating the program.
It's all about self-preservation for himself because he's scared.
Yeah, but they're not going to regime change him because I don't know if you've noticed, regime change involves oil.
Doesn't
there's no oil.
Apparently,
there's no interest like
minerals.
In minerals.
There's loads of minerals apparently there. Apparently, there's the minerals that you minerals. Want. Minerals for like the cell phones industry. That's apparently what they want. They're not tied to the IMF. You know, they're not tied to the U.S. banking system. They're perfect for a takeover because you could take all of their minerals over. And for when China has the market control, particularly in the cell phone materials that we need, those really fine, high, you know, minerals and sort of, you know, hard to get rocks, they're there.
But how much do you think a lack of fear towards this is because we've all seen Team America?
Yeah.
We all just think he's Romery.
Yeah. I guess it's just one of those. It's just watching, like, it's almost like you're watching the, this is like a version of the Mayweather-McGregor fight. It's just like, this is just going to be shit. These two shouldn't even be fighting.
You're still
like
looking forward to the fight if it happens. You know, you obviously don't want to be around.
It's going to happen. But
I just don't think he's going to.
No, he's not going to touch him because it's a boxing match. It would be like
it's just a big dick measuring.
Well, you just don't want to. You just want to see like 300,000 people get vaporized.
No,
I don't think, and I don't think that'll happen.
That's the hard thing that people don't. No one wants to see that happen. But the fact is, it exists.
You think because Trump's at the helm too? You think that's
well? I think more stuff is getting done with Trump at the helm than Obama. I think that now they're actually, because every time China will be like, yeah, we'll put those sanctions on. They never did. Now the actual sanctions are going on. You know, they're saying they could be on it as early as Wednesday, but definitely by September. And they're really hard-hitting ones. So, you know, he's obviously wants to protect it because, you know.
Yeah, but I think it's also one of those things is the closer they get to being able to achieve what they get, the higher the sanctions are going to be. So I think it's not necessarily 100% Trump. Trump's taking a tougher stand than anyone ever has with them. But I think it's just time that they're getting closer.
But for the first time, I think the world is basically saying to them, yeah, you know what? You can stay in power. We don't care. Just stop threatening. You know, that's the only problem.
Didn't the people of Guam go, look, he's been shooting missiles at us for years.
Yeah. Guam tourism has been going up.
People want to go. I want to see that. I want to see that missile fall right into the water.
I want to see what happens. I want to see what the response is. We could be there and take a selfie.
I don't know. I don't. I guess part of me doesn't consider it a huge threat. Maybe I should consider it a huge threat, but I find more issues threatening around the world are things like Iran and Russia and things like that because they all have the power to do things in my eyes, whereas North Korea, I think, are just a petulant child that wants attention. That's the way I look
at military them. Wise, I mean, Iran is stronger. I mean, North Korea is stronger than
like
Iran.
Fourth
strongest army in the world.
War we're talking about, though.
What the things that do matter, I think, in those instances we were talking about is when you've got North Korea, Cuba, and Iran, those are sort of isolated states that have minerals that aren't tied to the IMF, that basically, you know, aren't protected by anybody. And I think that's sort of another reason to look at it is America likes to pick on people that sometimes can't have anyone to back them up.
Yeah, but doesn't China protect North Korea and doesn't Russia side with China? Isn't
they both side on it, but they're both because they're both selling them stuff. They're both selling them oil and coal, and they're pushing a lot of the stuff through. And it's sort of, you know, it's always been that way. They're just sort of shifting stuff around to keep them going. And a lot of times too, there's sort of things have come out that there's a lot of like stuff made in China is actually made in North Korea. That Chinese are actually opening factories in China.
Shit that's going on in the world. That we could go back to legalizing pot. If everybody just smoked a spliff and relaxed, we'd have no fucking problems in the world right now.
Exactly, worldwide legalization.
I think we should send you and Dennis Rodman to North Korea to do that.
No, just fuck Dennis Rodman. Just another attention-seeking twat.
Yeah, Rodman.
Going over there because. For America.
Imagine Rodman was the one who ended like the Korean crisis.
That would be bad.
In the history books.
Well, what that say about Dennis the world Rodman. If it does? Yeah. Trump's best friend goes over there and solves a North Korean crisis that no one has been able to do.
Yeah.
I just told him stories about Carmen Electra and how he's the fucker. That's all I did.
Yeah.
12 boards and stopped World War III. Well done. Well done, Rodman.
But the other thing I sort of also want to touch on, because obviously all of us in entertainment, and things have changed in the past few years from, you know, when we grew up in terrestrial television. I mean, I grew up in rural Canada, I only had a few TV networks.
Yeah.
And then Then you've got...
We had 30 channels, about 10 times what Britain used to have.
Wow, well, I never had that many. You grew up in a city.
See, I'm older than you.
Oh, yeah, you guys are older than me. So I grew up in the heyday of 30
our
channels.
Our big thing was Channel 7. I had a big antenna that we turned a dial.
Yeah,
and
the rotary.
Spin it around, the rotary to pick it up. And it was in Syracuse,
yep,
Channel 7. And that's how we used to watch Bugs Bunny. And that was a big deal.
See, we only got Channel 2 and Channel 4 to Buffalo. But what we had to do is we only got it when there's signal, sometimes occasionally 7. We would only get it after 11 o'clock, because after 11 o'clock, the Americans would boost their signal strength. They were allowed to, whereas Canadians weren't. So they would boost the signal strength, and you'd pick it up. So suddenly, it's like, I discovered Johnny Carson, and I was like, oh, my God, what the hell is this?
We got Monty Python's Flying Circus in the 70s, which was great. And we also got, I remember, Fawlty Towers. When
oh, wow.
Yeah, we get PBS, because PBS would show it with their...
I always loved the PBS. That's when we got it, the PBS drive.
It would always be on PBS Pledge Drive. They'd always show Fawlty Towers. Because my parents were Welsh, so they would always like call us down with
Pledge
Fawlty Towers.
And then we won't show it.
Never sent
him
a fucking penny. No. We watched Fawlty Towers every time it was on. Didn't send him a penny.
Of course not, because they wouldn't show it after the pledge.
Yeah.
But now we've got this new generation now where, I think, especially in comedy, I've sort of seen the audiences. We've got this whole, what I call this sort of box set generation now, where it's people don't want to watch terrestrial TV as much. It's all about consuming a bunch of good series, good dramas. People want to wait, watch
binge.
Them together.
Binge.
It's that binge watching. Does that affect, is it affecting, I think, us as a people and our concentration and our willing to invest and the way that we are looking at arts?
No, and I'll tell you why. Well, in my opinion, why it isn't is because the shows that are being developed on television now with things like Big Brother, with those things, the easy money that the stations are spending, because it doesn't cost anything to put shit on like these reality shows, it doesn't cost any money, you're lacking the quality television that we watched in series. Like, I grew up with MASH, which still for me holds today with incredible with Cheers and all those things that were on. That doesn't exist anymore. There isn't those series anymore. So we have to turn to where the money's being thrown into better television. And unfortunately, it's Amazon, it's Netflix. You're finding series on there that are better than what's shown on major television. So I just,
it's because it's that different thing where TV used to be considered like you were like not as good an actor if you were on TV and the real actors were in the movies, where now TVs, because you're able to do these binge series where you can take this character and stretch him out for 6 years instead of 2 hours, and for an actor, and like all the costs of cameras have come down and production, that you're able to do more, and that's why you're seeing more great actors going into television.
And great series.
Great series getting made, but the thing is, I think those actors like, in a way, the Netflix model, in a way, where they can do this all in kind of one shot.
Yeah.
Take the whole, like, they can film the whole series in, a month.
Well, that's the same for our lifestyle, too. When you finish a show and you go back to a hotel room at 11 o'clock at night, you're not going to turn on television. You're going to go to your iPad. You're going to turn on Netflix or Amazon and watch the series that you've been watching. And they're usually phenomenal.
There's so many
good ones coming out more and more now. And that's because they're not also restricted by somebody saying, well, you can't do that on television.
So that's what I was going to touch on, is that they can say fuck and shit and show sex scenes. And you couldn't do that in terrestrial TV. You have to sort of allude to it, and so it's all about innuendo. It's not actually about showing how actually people talk.
But it also is too, like, in the network television is all about getting to syndication, so it's all about getting to 100 episodes, so then you can make shitloads off of it for the next 30-40 years, where in Netflix and stuff, they don't care about that. There is no syndication. They don't release because Netflix, which would be really interesting to watch, but Netflix doesn't release any of their viewing figures, so no one knows
who
watches what. I'd love to know their viewing figures, just to see.
Which means an actor as a writer, though, you don't get paid as much, because you get paid more in syndication under the rules, basically,
of course,
of your
unions.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Obviously, the real money is always going to be in network television, because it's bound to advertisers.
Yeah.
So, but it's just a different... I think you're just given more creative freedom on a Netflix show because you're not bound to advertisers. So you can be a bit more edgy, and they won't be like, oh, well, they're one of our advertisers, so you can't say shit about them. That's why John Oliver on Last Week Tonight is such a different to like The Daily Show and a lot of others,
because
he's not... Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. He's not combined. He can say fuck you.
Oh, look at the one. What was the car show that got canceled in Britain because...
Top Gear.
The Amazon version that they've done now by the Grand
Tour.
Grand Tour.
Is far better because they've taken the reins off them that the BBC had on them, and it's now, you
be
know,
an edgier,
they can
be
just
yourself.
Do the thing. That's the beauty of it too. It's like you just can be unapologetically what you want to be.
Exactly.
And don't have to worry. And that's
which is what we want to watch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I don't want to listen to some old fuck running a station saying, "Well, you can't say that on television."
Yeah. Like
when I want. I'm not. Yeah. Nothing offends me.
Yeah, exactly. Like you would never see a show like a TV show like Narcos on any other channel.
No.
Which was fabulous. It was
an amazing
I watched
show
it in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's just fantastic. It's violence, swearing, everything, sex thing, and just you don't even blink an eye when you watch it. But if you were watching NBC and Narcos came on, it would be the shittiest version of it because everything, all the good stuff would be cut.
Do you find, because I've watched some primetime big network shows and you watch it like, this is so weak. Like, you're just like, fudge you, man.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
come
yeah.
on.
They're like, the big story. It's like, damn it.
But now we're comparing them to this. And that's why we don't even turn to it. Do you know what I mean?
It's
when you've watched so much on Amazon and Netflix, how are they going to compete with that?
Yeah. There's always going to be good shows. But I always kind of see it. It's like, oh, well, that's common. That show's for
stupid
Big Bang
people.
Yeah.
On
you kind of
seven
think, like,
times
that
a day.
That's just not as smart as the other stuff I watch. It feels like it's almost like the way with Laugh Track now, where it's considered, like, for stupid people. Like, right? Just like, don't tell me when to laugh. I know when to laugh. I don't need to be goaded into it. So it's like a lot of people see Laugh Tracks as just comedically inferior of a way to do it. Even though when you watch old Seinfelds and stuff, you kind of like wish the Laugh Track wasn't there in a way. I feel that way.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wind this thing down. It's been good talking to you guys. Before we go, we're talking about pot and Netflix. So tell me if any shows that you're excited to watch. I'll start with Ryan. Anything coming up or anything you're watching that people should be watching right now that you love to watch?
Oh, my God. Well, the new Narcos is coming out in September. I'm excited for The Defenders. I love any sort of comic book
shit. That's a Netflix
That's
original.
A Netflix one that's on Friday, this Friday. And there's actually this one fake documentary about kind of like in the Making a Murderer.
Okay.
But it's called American Vandal, and it's all based around this like a murder mystery thing, like Making a Murder, but all around a guy in a school who spray painted dicks on all the cars. So it's all about like 8 episodes of who drew the dicks on these cars, and it looks absolutely fantastic. It's a big piss take on the whole thing. And I saw another great show like that called Trial and Error, which is kind of a spoof of The Staircase and all these kind of Making a Murder type things. They're both fantastic. So those two.
Sean? Me is Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Which is coming out on... the pilot episode is the only one that's shown, and it's about John... I love... Ever since he did JCVD...
Yeah, JCVD
was awesome. But it's I don't know if you know about it, but it's about him that he goes into movies, the pilot is, that he goes back to acting, but he's really there to be a secret agent, Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Okay.
So he does these shit films, but while he's there, he's going and he's... But everybody, when he gets seen... goes, well, you're Jean-Claude.
It's the shittiest spy ever.
It really
when
was funny.
When does that come out?
They did the pilot. Watch the pilot on Amazon and check it out, but it's now being made.
Yeah,
because I think they put the pilot out now.
Okay, sometimes they'll do that. Amazon will do it to test to see if you like it.
I did that with The Tick. I watched The Tick.
They did that as well. They did The Man in the High Castle.
But without Warburton, Warburton?
Yeah, but Peter Serafinowicz is great. He's got a great voice.
He does. And I'm going to suggest my last one as we cut out. I'm going to say my series to watch, You're the Worst, Season 3, which is starting, I think, next week.
Excellent.
Or this week, I think. Actually, it's the 18th, I think it starts. Is it this week?
Maybe end of August, I think.
Yeah, it's sometime this week, but that's it. Guys, thanks a lot for joining me. Thanks a lot for being part of Scrotus Podcast. And guys, please share, subscribe, watch this, tell your friends.